Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, April 26th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, once again, the announcement that there will be a meeting this Sunday after the second class for everyone involved in Vacation Bible School, teachers, helpers, crafters. That'll be this Sunday after the second class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word and to fulfill the mandate you've given us to forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 5, corrected translation. Indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants because of Jesus. And that is, every faithful pastor teacher has been given a mandate as the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. Every faithful pastor has an obligation, a responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ to feed his sheep. And the faithful communicator studies and teaches and studies and teaches and studies and teaches to fulfill that obligation and responsibility. Verse 6. Because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness. And that, as far as we've got with our exegesis, there's a lot that we had to deal with that. The Apostle Paul is making an allusion from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. This is not a direct quotation of Genesis 1, 3, but rather Paul is alluding to this verse. The darkened, chaotic earth resembles the condition of the unbeliever. Every human being is born in the status of spiritual death, which is total depravity and separation from God. Like the lifeless, primitive earth, the spiritually dead unbeliever is enveloped in spiritual darkness, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. The only hope of spiritual life comes from God. What the Holy Spirit accomplished for the earth in renewal, He also does in regeneration when a person believes in Jesus Christ for salvation. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God is the Lord Jesus Christ, created the heavens and the earth. The creator of the entire universe, the creator of all things, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 1 1, John 1 1 to 5, Colossians 1 16 and 17. The living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created the universe and all creatures in the universe. Creationism is the absolute truth, while evolution is the absolute lie. Lifeless matter did not accidentally spawn living organisms over millions of years. Rather, everything was created by the spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The order and arrangement of the universe demands a creator, a designer. Observations, and we have the ability now with our technology to, we can look at a cell, a single cell, and see an entire universe. That demonstrates a creator, a designer. And we can look out into space and the largest galaxies and see that there was a creator, a designer, a purpose that require a master planner and a master creator. The very grandeur of creation displays the majestic glory and attributes of God. And we studied that in Psalm 19, 1 through 6, Romans 1, verse 20. Prior to Genesis 1, verse 1, there was no universe. No universe existed. There was no matter, no energy, no time, nothing but the triune God and His angels. The Bible records four distinct beginnings. The first beginning is not a real beginning. It's the eternal and self-existing God. God has eternally existed. He has no beginning and no end. That's the first beginning, which is not a beginning. The second beginning is the creation of angels. Angels were created before creation. Before creation. The second beginning was the creation of angels. At some time in eternity past, before the creation of the universe, before Genesis 1:1, God created the angels. And therefore the angels were present. They had angelic grandstands. And Jesus Christ created the universe. All the angels were there. All of them. There were no fallen angels at this time. They were all perfect. Created from the hand of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ created the universe, the angels are all cheering, celebrating, singing, Amazing Grace. All throughout, it was angelic creation was singing and celebrating the creation of the universe. And that was Job 38, verses 4 through 7. So the second beginning was the creation of angels, and then the third beginning, it was the creation of the universe, Genesis 1:1. The universe was created as the domain of the angels. Throughout the universe, the angels ruled and performed whatever responsibilities and tasks God had for them. During this span of time, Lucifer and one-third of the angels had not yet rebelled against God, and therefore all the angels shouted for joy, sang, celebrated, as the Lord Jesus Christ created the universe. But eventually, Lucifer and one-third of the angels did rebel against God Isaiah 14:14, I will make myself like the Most High God. Ezekiel 28:12-17. The battleground of this prehistoric angelic revolt centered on one tiny planet in the universe. Satan's rebellion brought chaos upon the earth. Tohu wabohu, verse 2. Verse 1, the creation of the universe, the angels were there to celebrate that. And then something happened between verse 1 and verse 2, because in verse 2, the earth is tohu wabohu, chaos, destruction, great judgment took place. Satan's rebellion brought chaos upon the earth as a part of God's judgment against the rebellious angels. The planet was enshrouded in darkness. Without light or heat, the raging waters of the deep froze into an ice pack. Genesis 1 verse 2. Before the earth could again be inhabited, restoration would be necessary. So the fourth beginning is the human race. God renovated the earth for his final creation, man. So between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, we know a judgment took place to create tohu wabohu on planet earth. In verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ created a perfect heavens and earth. He didn't create the earth tohu wabohu. And how do we know that? Well, we looked at this last time, but look at it again, just in case you were in La La Land. Turn over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. Now look, and he did not create it tohu. He did not create the earth tohu. So Genesis 1:1, he created it perfect, the universe perfect. And all the angels were there to celebrate that. And then he created the universe, the heavens, and the earth, and he did not create it. Tohu is the Hebrew word. He did not create it chaos. So, in verse 2, when it says, and the earth was tohu wabohu, something had to happen because Jesus Christ didn't create it tohu. Isaiah 45:18 absolutely declared. He didn't create it that way. Something happened between verse 1 and verse 2, and so that the earth became tohu wabohu. So in verse 1, Jesus Christ created a heavens and an earth. The earth was not in a state of chaos. The Lord Jesus Christ did not create the earth in a state of chaos, as dogmatically declared by Isaiah 45:18. But something between verse 1 and verse 2, a catastrophe occurred in the universe which centered on planet Earth. And that catastrophe was the fall of Satan and the subsequent angelic conflict, which turned the original Earth into desolation and chaos. And therefore, the prehistoric angelic conflict originated between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and eventually will be resolved by human history. The destruction of the original earth is directly related to the fall of Satan and the angelic conflict. The divine judgment pronounced against the fallen angels, Matthew 25:41, included enshrouding the earth in darkness. So between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, the earth was packed in ice. And beneath the ice, everything was chaos. But the earth became tohu wabohu. Beneath the ice, everything was chaos. And above the ice, everything was darkness. Now in Genesis 1:2b, we have God the Holy Spirit beginning regeneration. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The earth covered by the ice pack was void of life. Only God could generate life in a barren world. Restoration from chaos began with the regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Apostle Paul is thinking about and alluding to in our passage. Because the same thing happens with mankind, unbelievers and spiritually dead and totally depraved. There we are all come into the world in chaos. We all come into the world, tohu wabohu. And so then what happens? The grace gospel is given. God the Holy Spirit acts as your human spirit, turns on a light so you can see Jesus Christ. In that darkness that you're in as an unbeliever, now God the Holy Spirit enables you to see Jesus Christ and His salvation work on the cross and understand the issue of salvation and give you the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and regeneration. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit and you're born again. Regeneration. Well, in a way, that's what was happening in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The earth was born again. Regeneration. And the ministry of God the Holy Spirit was very, very critical. So the earth, covered by the ice pack, was void of life, and only God could generate life in a barren world. Restoration from chaos began with the regeneration activity of God the Holy Spirit. The grace of God would transform chaos into order. The word translated hovering over the waters, it doesn't mean God the Holy Spirit had His own hoverboard. Doesn't mean that at all. Rock half is the Hebrew word. It means to incubate. It's just like a chicken sitting on an egg and incubating it, warming it up, and then it hatches. To incubate, to brood, rock half was used for mother birds sitting on their eggs, sitting on their young to warm them and give them vitality. In a similar way, God the Holy Spirit warmed and moved over the frozen earth, melting the water to prepare the earth for restoration and habitation. And then Genesis 1 verse 3, which Paul is alluding to, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the verse that the Apostle Paul is referring to, alluding to in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Over the black chaos, the Spirit of God had warmed and regenerated the earth by melting the ice pack. This prepared the earth for the creative Word of God. The earth was a darkened, chaotic ruin when Jesus Christ spoke on the first day of restoration. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded light to come into existence, and there was light. Jesus Christ simply spoke, and it was done. That was day one. There are 6 days of this restoration. This is day one. Day one, Genesis 1, 3 through 5. It's a 24-hour day. Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. This is Jesus Christ commanding, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, day one. So day one, the first day of restoration. The first day of restoration saw the creation of light and its separation from darkness. Throughout the first 3 days, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, furnished the light that shone upon the earth without energizing any illuminating agents. It wasn't until day four that God concentrated the elemental light in the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the comets, the asteroids, and that was day four, and that's in Genesis 1, verses 14 to 19. So, on day one, God began restoration with the creation of elemental physical light and light from an illuminating body or reflector. There was no light from a moon or a sun or a star, which would all come later on day four. Light is radiant energy that makes the existence of life possible. Darkness cannot sustain plant, animal, or human life. The ice pack around the earth had been melted by the regenerating ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and therefore now the creation of light would sustain life and prevent all the surface water on the earth from freezing once again. And then Genesis 1 verse 4 says, God saw the light, saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Now that's very important there. One, throughout the God-breathed scriptures, darkness is associated with Satan, and light is associated with God. Throughout the God-breathed scriptures, darkness is associated with Satan, and light is associated with God. Two, darkness is a metaphor for sin, for spiritual death, and for the kingdom of Satan. Darkness is a metaphor for sin, for spiritual death, and for the kingdom of Satan. Three, in contrast, the kingdom of God is light. In contrast, the kingdom of God is light. Four, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, 5 says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Five, when the believer walks in the darkness, Satan's cosmic system, he has no fellowship with God, and he is not living by the truth of the Word of God. When the believer walks in the darkness, Satan's cosmic system, he's living his life. And most believers today in America are living in Satan's cosmic system. They're living in darkness. They're walking in darkness. They're not living the spiritual life. They're not walking in the light. But when the believer walks in the darkness, Satan's cosmic system, he has no fellowship with God, no spiritual life. And he is not living by the truth. That's 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and yet we walk in darkness, we are living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, we lie and do not practice the truth. We're not living our life by the truth. 1 John 1, verse 6. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John chapter 8. Verse 12, this is the Gospel of John 8, verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness. If you're following the Lord, if you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you are not walking in darkness. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. 7. Metabolized doctrine in the heart is a light enabling the believer to see God and his plan and will and purpose for your life. Metabolized doctrine in the heart is a light. Now you have the light of the Word of God inside your soul. And the most important eyes that you have are not your physical eyes. The most important eyes you have are the eyes of your soul, the eyes of your heart. And the only way you can see with those eyes is to have the light of Bible doctrine in your heart. And that's where somewhere along the line, and it's, I see just the opposite. Somewhere along the line, Bible doctrine has to be more important than the air that you breathe. But for most believers, that's not true. Everything else is more important. Everything else is more important. And that's why we're in deep doo-doo in America. Yeah, we have a lot of Christians in America. They're all in darkness. They're walking in darkness, living in darkness. And the Word of God is not more important than the air that they breathe. They don't fulfill the mandates of God's Word. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It doesn't mean any different to them. Metabolized doctrine in the heart is a light enabling the believer to see God and His plan, will, and purpose for your life. Turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word, so that I can walk in the light and not walk in the darkness. The Word of God is the light, so you can walk in the light. Live your life in the light. Look over at verse 130. The unfolding of your words, Bible doctrine, gives light. It gives understanding to the stupid. You might have simple there. You might not know what that means. Stupid. I think you all understand stupid. Stupido. 8. The gospel is light. And every time the grace gospel is given, God the Holy Spirit and His common grace ministry, and I just think that's a terrible name to call it. It should be absolutely phenomenal ministry. Every time the gospel is given, the Holy Spirit goes into the heart of the unbeliever. And here he is. The unbeliever is in tohu wabohu. He's in darkness. Spiritually dead. Totally depraved. And the Holy Spirit goes in there and turns on the light so he can see Jesus Christ, his salvation work on the cross, and the issue of salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The Holy Spirit turns on the light. The gospel, combined with the common grace ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, is light for the unbeliever. And we studied this in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And in fact, if our gospel, the grace gospel, is being hidden, first class condition, and it is, it's being hidden to the ones who are perishing. In whose case, unbelievers who are perishing, the God of this world, Satan, and what is his kingdom? Darkness, has blinded the minds of unbelievers for the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. Now, when the gospel is given, the Holy Spirit says, this is the issue. But they have been blinded with legalism, with works, with false gospel, with religion for so long by Satan that once they hear it, they go, ah, no, I don't think so. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, let's start at verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. A lot of believers are ashamed. Ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ. Ashamed to let anybody know that they're a Christian. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as his prisoner, the faithful communicator of the Word of God, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, a spiritual life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. To light through the gospel. The gospel is light. As long as the unbeliever is still alive and living, there's hope. The gospel is light. The gospel is light. The common grace ministry of the Holy Spirit turns the light on so they can understand the issue of salvation. The problem is that Satan has been indoctrinating the unbelievers with religion, legalism, false gospel. And after they see the light of the grace gospel, now they have to decide. They understand the issue. They can believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, or they can reject Him. 9. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, God transfers the believer from Satan's kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, God transfers the believer from Satan's kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light. Turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, let's start at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. All prayer goes to the Father. This is a part of your prayer agenda, thanksgiving. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that kingdom of the Son that He loves, the Son, Jesus Christ, is light, the light of the world. Turn over to Acts 26. Acts 26. And this is the Apostle Paul in a trial before Agrippa. And he says in Acts 26:18, I am sending you, this is the Lord Jesus Christ said to Saul of Tarsus after he believed in Jesus Christ, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ. So when a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, God transfers the believer from Satan's kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light. 10. The devil cannot produce light. He doesn't produce light. There's no light in Satan's cosmic system. There's no light in Satan. Only darkness. He cannot produce light, he cannot create life, nor can he provide regeneration. Impossible. 11. Satan can do nothing constructive for mankind, for this earth, or for the universe. Satan can do nothing constructive for mankind, for this earth, or for the universe. Twelve. God allowed the darkness to exist with the light. God allowed the darkness to exist with the light just as he permits fallen angels to continue to exist with the elect angels and unbelievers to coexist with believers. God allowed the darkness to exist with the light, just as he permits fallen angels to continue to exist with elect angels and unbelievers to coexist with believers. So now our look at Genesis 1, 1 through 5 prepares us for what the Apostle Paul is teaching now in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is a conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the articular participle of apon plus the noun phos with the first future active indicative of lampo plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of skatos. Hati, H-O-T-I, Hati. And here it is used as a causal conjunction, and it is correctly translated because, not for, because. And then we have Ha-Theos. Definite article Ha, and then Theos, T-H-E-O-S, Ha Theos. And he's referring, as verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, he's alluding to Genesis 1, 3. And who is the God in Genesis 1, 3? He is the creator of the universe. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ha Theos is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. John 1, 1 to 3. And in that great passage of John 1, 1 to 3, the Lord Jesus Christ has a title. He is the Halagos. He is the living word. Jesus Christ is the living word. John 1, verse 1. And the Logos, the living word, Jesus Christ, was face to face with God the Father in eternity past. John 1, verse 1. And the Logos, Jesus Christ, was eternally existing God from all eternity, distinct from God the Father. John 1, verse 1. And then in John 1, verse 3, the Logos, Jesus Christ, is the creator who creates all things, the great omnipotent creator of the universe. Ha Theos, Jesus Christ. And then Apon. E-I-P-O-N. Apon. Apon is a second aorist tense of the verb lego. And it means to say, to speak, or to command. Here, it means to command. The articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun. And it is correctly translated, the one who said, or the one who spoke, or the one who commanded. That's the substantival participle. So, principle. The Lord Jesus Christ merely spoke. He merely gave a command, let there be light, and there was light. We saw that in Genesis 1, 3. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, that is by metabolized doctrine in our hearts. By faith means living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. By faith means operating by the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. By faith means consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. And we know that God here is the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that the universe was formed at God's command. He simply spoke so that what is seen, everything that is seen, was not made out of what was visible. It was created out of nothing. He spoke ex nihilo, out of nothing. He didn't take matter and then form. He just spoke and created the universe. It was not made out of what was visible. It was created ex nihilo, out of nothing. And that is bara. Bara means to create out of nothing. Asa means to manufacture something out of something. And doesn't say in Genesis 1 that he asa'd, he bara'd. So the Lord Jesus Christ merely spoke, let there be light, and there was light. The word for light is phos. P-H-O-S. Phos. That's the word for light. And then we have lampo. L-A-M-P-O. Lampo. And a couple of things on this verb. Literally, a lampo means to shine, to flash, to shine forth, to gleam, to shine, to flash, to shine forth, to gleam. Two, it is used in our verse for the light that shone forth by the creation work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Used in our verse for the light that shone forth by the creation work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, he merely spoke. He merely gave a command. Let there be light, and there was light, out of nothing. He merely spoke. He merely gave the command, let there be light, and there was light. The future tense is an imperatival future. And that means it carries the force of a command. The active voice, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, merely gave a command, merely spoke. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And then the preposition ek. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ek. Ek is a preposition that means out of or out from. Here, out of. Out of skatos. S-K-O-T-O-S, skatos. And skatos is darkness, gloom. It's used here for the darkness of chaos. Tohu wabohu, Genesis 1-2. Because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts. And this is the nominative singular of the relative pronoun host plus the aorist active indicative of lampo plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of cardia with the definite article and the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. We have the relative pronoun hosts. H-O-S. Hosts. Now, one thing about the relative pronoun, it has an antecedent. This is why you go to seminary and prepare for the ministry. Although, I'll be real honest. People don't give a damn. Christians don't give a damn anymore about pastors if they learn Greek or Hebrew. They don't give a damn. They'll go listen to any idiot that just reads from the English translation. And they get all kinds of garbage. But Christians have no... They don't care. Everything else, wrong, totally wrong priorities from top to bottom. And they just want to go someplace where the pastor is nice, shakes their hand at the door, tells them, it was wonderful to have you here today. See, if I stood at the door, I would say, where in the hell have you been, asshole? So I don't stand at the door. That keeps me from saying that. Instead, I go into my office, and then if you come into my office, then I'll ask you there, see. Nobody comes into my office. So this is a relative pronoun host, and it refers back to the nominative singular antecedent. It refers back to the God, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation is the one who, is the one who, and then lampo again has shown. And then entice cardiais haemon, in our hearts. So the corrected translation says, because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And this is the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of photismos and the genitive singular of gnosis with a definite article, the genitive singular of doxa with a definite article, the genitive singular of theos with a definite article. We start out with the preposition pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S, pros plus the accusative. And Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 717, says that pros plus the accusative is used here to give the goal aimed at. It introduces a purpose. So the corrected translation is for the purpose of. Pros plus the accusative should be translated for the purpose of. And then photismos. P-H long O-T-I-S-M-O-S. Photismos. And photismos means illumination or enlightenment. But once again, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 881, says in our verse it means bringing to light, revealing, enlightening, giving light to. And then gnosis, you probably call it gnosis, but there's no silent letters in the Greek, G-N long O-S, no Greek would ever call that gnosis. He would call it gnosis. And gnosis is up genitive case of the knowledge, and then doxa in the genitive. They're all in genitive. D-O-K-S-A, doxa. And doxa is of the glory. And then theos in the genitive, of the God. So, corrected translation. For the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. For the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And then the final phrase, in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the preposition and plus the dative singular prosopon plus the genitive singular of the noun Christos. Now in the King James the word Jesus is there, but there is no Jesus in the original autographs. Christos, yes, but no Jesus. We have the preposition and, which is in, and then prosopon. P-R-O-S, long O-P-O-N. Prosopon. Prosopon literally means face, countenance. The genitive singular Christos is literally the anointed one. It's been transliterated Christ. It's the same as the word Mashiach, Messiah. They both mean an anointed one. So the corrected translation now of verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts for the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. One. As the Lord Jesus Christ brought light out of darkness, Genesis 1, 2 through 4, so he brings light to the hearts of those in darkness. As the Lord Jesus Christ brought light out of darkness, Genesis 1, 2 through 4, so he brings light to the hearts of those in darkness, the unbelieving world. Living in darkness, living in tohu wabohu. Two, this had been Saul of Tarsus experience on the Damascus Road. And Saul of Tarsus, an unbeliever living in tohu wabohu, spiritual death, total depravity, saw the light of Jesus Christ, the grace gospel, and he believed in Christ and became the greatest believer of all time. Acts 26, 9-18. We'll close with this evening. Acts 26. And again, this is Jesus Christ, or not Jesus, this is the Apostle Paul on trial before Agrippa. And in verse 9, we'll start at verse 9. And Paul says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. He opposed Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus hated Jesus Christ. He hated all those who believed in Jesus Christ. And this is why he's called the worst sinner of all. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Kill them! Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. Persecute Christians. He's not only hated Jesus Christ, he's persecuting those who have believed in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, Jesus Christ? It is hard for you to kick against the goad. That is the total futility of persecuting and Christians and hating Jesus Christ. And then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now, get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will deliver you, rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Positional sanctification through faith in Jesus Christ. So as the Lord Jesus Christ brought light out of darkness, Genesis 1, 2 through 4, so he brings light to the hearts of those unbelievers in darkness. And this had been Paul's experience on the Damascus Road, Acts 26, 9 to 18. So this verse, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, there's a lot of pastors that would teach about 12 verses already. Or maybe a chapter. I still haven't gone through one verse. But in 2 weeks, there's a lot here. But most pastors today, you'll go through 3 verses, 4 verses, 5 verses, 10 verses, 12 verses, a chapter, chapter and a half, 2 chapters. That's fine. If that's what you want, get your patootie out and get in those churches. Get in there. You belong there. You don't belong here. If you have no respect for the authority of this pulpit, then go find someone you have respect for the authority for and get under that person and stay there. You don't belong here. With our head bowed, Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us with what we study this evening. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.